for the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo 2, August 25th, Nashville, Tennessee, at the legendary Nashville Palace. From struggle to stardom, to addiction, to darkness, to redemption, Brian Head Welch has been through it all and come out the other side. Join Brian on August 25th at the legendary Nashville Palace for the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo 2 for a revealing discussion on stage with myself, Joshua Toomey, of the Talk To Me podcast about his life and upcoming documentary, Loud Crazy Love. Brian will also be signing autographs and taking pictures with fans and recording with many of the podcasts on site. Admission starts at just $10. This event is likely to sell out. Get your tickets now at www.rockinpod.eventbrite.com. And I hope to see you there. Let's start the show.
This is Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore
A New Life Begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
This is episode 154 of Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Make sure to head over to MetalNexus.net for all your news, reviews, interviews, and the archives of the Talk To Me podcast. As always, I am your host, Joshua Toomey, and do I have a special treat for you guys this week? Not one, but two guests this week. Brandon Schipetti of Bleeding Through, who has a great new album that will be out tomorrow, May 25th, on Sharptone Records, called Love Will Kill All. And man, it definitely will kill you all. So enjoy that. And then also, and before we get into our interview with Brandon Schipetti, I talked to Graham Hartman of Loudwire. You guys have seen him on the Wikipedia Fact or Fiction. And if you listen to the old Loudwire podcast, he was a host of the Loudwire podcast. Great chat with Graham from Loudwire. And then obviously we will always hit you with the Rob Rivera pick from the kit. And it's going to be a special one because it's one of my favorite bands. So action-packed episode of Talk To Me. Graham Hartman, Brandon Schipetti, Rob Rivera's pick from the kit, and it's all brought to you by Good Company with Bowling. Yes, my good friend Scott Bowling over there at Good Company. Check him out on YouTube. If you like interviews, if you like long-form interviews shot professionally, like the Loudwire interviews on YouTube, make sure and check out my good friend Scott Bowling over there at Good Company with Bowling. Check him out YouTube or scottgoodcompany.com. I saw him today posting that he has conducted his interview with Sonny from POD. Also check out his archives with Brian Head Welch, the guys from Islander, get Corey Lowry, Clint Lowry of Seven Dust, LaJean Witherspoon of Seven Dust, so many great bands. And then also coming up, he has upcoming episodes with Eddie Trunk, Rich Ward of Fozzy, and so much more. So check out scottgoodcompany.com or search out Good Company with Bowling on YouTube. Check them out. Let them know that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. So let's get right into our episodes this week, guys, and let's talk to Graham Hartman of Loudwire.
Yo, this is Trevor from Obituary, and you're listening to Talk To Me.
All right, guys, we got Graham Hartman on the line. That's at Graham Wire on Twitter, senior writer at Loudwire and the host of the Loudwire YouTube series, Wikipedia Fact or Fiction. Graham, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I love what you do over at Loudwire. And, you know, I've definitely used your Wikipedia Fact or Fiction videos many times to get prepared to interview a guest. So I appreciate you doing those videos.
Oh, good. It's better than using Wikipedia bullshit.
Well, it's always nice when you're about to interview a guest to see how they interact with people and kind of get their cadence. And do they give long answers? Do they give short answers? So it's always nice to, you know, kind of have a go-to person to kind of get that from. And I think over the last year or so, I think you've kind of been my go-to guy.
Oh, well, thanks for that.
And before we get too far into this, and actually I asked Brandon Schipetti almost the same question on this episode, but you know, one of my go-to podcasts for a while was the Loudwire podcast. What happened with that?
Well, we had a lot of fun doing it, but we just kind of decided that we did it for about a year, and we're like, I think we're good. Like, I think we just kind of had enough of it. It was like a hugely labor intensive process. And, you know, it just didn't get like as many listens as we would have wanted. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, be just one podcast in this a world of podcasts where like every single person on earth seems to have one, you know, and even, you know, the biggest ones don't get giant views, you know, unless you're Joe Rogan or something. So we just kind of went, you know, I think a year of this was good. We had a ton of fun. And so we've kind of started using Facebook Live.
Okay.
More. Yeah, we've been using that more because it's kind of a cool thing just to do it on the fly and to be able to communicate with people directly, have people, you know, ask questions to the artists and to us and all that stuff. And yeah, we just found it to be, and you know, and it takes like no time. You just flip the cameras on. You know, I was actually editing every podcast myself, like the audio and the music intros and all that stuff. And, you know, it takes a long time. And so, we just, you know, our YouTube channel is like really successful. And, you know, when we put out videos, you know, it's kind of hard to see something you put so much time into not pay off quite the way you wanted. But Joe and I had so much fun, and yeah, I think we both miss doing it a little bit, but you know, we're moving forward with our own video interviews and Facebook Live and stuff like that.
Yeah, when you're talking about how many listens a podcast gets, you know, sometimes you'll be listening to your favorite shows and they'll, I don't know if they're slipping up or whatnot, but they'll kind of tell you how many downloads they get, and it's surprising the amount of downloads that some of these interviews get that, you know, go insanely viral, but yet will still have under 1,000 downloads. It's insane how the numbers are skewed on how, you know, the reach of a podcast when it goes, you know, because Loudwire has picked up episodes of mine and, you know, all of the Blabbermouse and the PRPs and things like that, they've all picked up episodes, but at the same time, you know, you'll see that Loudwire pulled quote of mine will get more shares than the actual downloads of the podcast. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, it's weird, you know. It's hard to be in the rock space and to have like a successful podcast too, because, you know, we're just such a niche community.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we have a hip hop podcast or a pop podcast where everyone on the planet can kind of, you know, follow along with what we're talking about. But when we've got like Obituary on, or like Richard Christie,
yeah,
it's like there's only so many people who are going to listen to that thing, so it's rough.
Yeah, I've had Trevor and Donald both on the podcast, and yeah, I know that for a fact. As much as I love Obituary, they're definitely not pulling the download numbers.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do when you're in a brutal death metal band?
Yeah, but a great one. Kind of going back with you, I mean, how did you get connected with Loudwire?
Well, in 2010, I started writing for Metal Injection. I just sent them an album review that I had done for a band, Agoraphobic Nosebleed,
nice.
a album called Agorapocalypse, which I really liked. And I just kind of said, fuck it, like, let me give this a try. Like, I had tried, you know, I'd kind of dipped my toe into all these different parts of the music industry, and I was already, you know, I was already doing a lot of writing and creative writing and stuff like that. So it was like, hey, maybe I can give this a try. And they got back to me right away and were like, yeah, like write some stuff for us, you know, starting with album reviews and lists and stuff like that. And so I was with them for about a year. And they helped me out a huge amount because when Loudwire was starting, someone reached out to them, you know, like, do you know any good writers? We're trying to start this website. And then Rob Pispani, he recommended me. And he was like, here you go. You know, these guys are looking to start a website. You know, they pay $10 an article. I feel like you could, you know, if you want to, here you go. It was like, oh, cool. So I just started that out. And yeah, it just kind of exploded. And, you know, after a few months, I got hired full time and suddenly got to do it for a living, and that was in 2011.
That's a good dude for someone to come to him and he actually give up people on his staff. You know, that must, he must have felt highly of you, but at the same time, you know, that's big of him to allow people to, you know, grow and move on.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's always been nothing but a friend to me. And, you know, we've always been super cool with them. You know, they're really nice guys. You know, I don't think either of us like picking feuds or being overly overly, you know, competitive with each other just because we're kind of rival sites.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool because we're like, it's just kumbaya. We see each other at shows and it's like, hey, you guys are doing really well. Hey, you're doing really well too. Like, oh, cool. Let's have a drink, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, they've always been, you know, and Frank over there is a real nice guy too. So, yeah, I love those guys. I'm super grateful for them giving me my start.
Well, I mean, this community of metal journalists or whatever you want to call all of us, you know, it's almost against the grain for us to try to compete with one another because it's just, you know, I hate to pull off a Josta, but you know, the high tide raises all ships kind of thing when it comes to this stuff. And, you know, and so when a blabbermouth, the PRP, you know, you guys, whoever, you know, pulls something from the podcast, as long as they quote the podcast, throw my name in it and, you know, link it, I'm 100% fine with it. And I think it's actually, you know, it helps me, it helps you guys, you know, you guys get some clicks, I get some, you know, some name recognition. And I think it's, you know, everyone's, you know, scratching each other's back kind of thing in this thing.
Yeah. You got to be good to each other. You know, you can't just, you know, there have been times where people have taken, you know, parts of our interviews or whatever, and then, you know, didn't link back or didn't even, you know, say it was from us. And, you know, that sucks,
yeah.
You know, because we did so much work and, you know, it's good just to get a little recognition. But, you know, yeah, I agree. If anyone just, you know, gives us the credit, links off, embeds the video or whatever, like, it's all good.
I think I've only had one thing where I had to reach out because they credited the wrong source, I think. And that was the only time I was like, come on now. Like, I emailed them. I'm like, if you don't mind, you know, I'm going to be cool about it. And just, you know, just make sure you quote the proper source. But other than that, you know, I love it. Honestly, I love it when a story gets picked up or a West Borland calls a you know, Aaron Lewis a dickhead or something. You know, I love when that type of stuff happens.
Yeah, totally.
So we've got the Faceless out there, which, you know, the band pretty much all quits on the one guy. Looks like Moto Grader kind of did the same thing. You know, a band like Mushroom Head or a Flaw or any of those bands that are just like revolving door members bands. You know, how do you feel about a band continuing on when it's like one dude or, you know, like even the third bass player keeps the band going type stuff? You know, how do you feel about all that?
Well, it kind of depends on the band for me. I mean, I think most of the time it tends not to work out, but then you have a band like Napalm Death,
right,
where there's no original members at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they just also happen to get like even more amazing as they keep going, you know. You know, when Barney came in, it was like, damn, like this guy can really belt it out. And, you know, when you just get a bunch of talented guys into a band, and, you know, I could understand why people get upset. It's like, oh, they shouldn't use the name anymore. They should use some other name. But I don't know, as long as there's some ties to the earlier days, I think it's fine. Like Cattle Decapitation has no original members, but I mean, in the last 10 years, how many amazing albums have they put out?
Right.
So, I'm not going to complain about that. But, yeah, I mean, you see bands tend to sort of get watered down after some time when the integral guys tend to leave. But also, I feel like you can just tell when the important person is gone because something's very obviously missing. So I think the music speaks for itself. Kind of speaking about this, with everything that's happened with Ghost, with, you know, Tobias, mm-hmm. You know, I guess, you know, having some legal issues with a bunch of former members, and you know, it's basically the Tobias project now. But with everything they've released from the newest album, it's like holy shit, you can tell that, okay, it was pretty much Tobias the whole time,
right,
being the creative, you know, leader of that band. So, you know, with everything, you know, I've got a stream of the record already, and so I've got to listen to the whole thing, and it's fucking awesome. You know, if Rats and Dance Macabre, it definitely represents what that album's all about, and it's really good. And I feel like Tobias, you know, I don't give a shit who else is in Ghost, as long as right. Tobias just keeps, you know, moving that ship forward, because I think he's legitimate. He's probably a legitimate genius. So, yeah, I think it depends on the band, but I think Ghost is a good example. And of course, Napalm and Cattle Decap and stuff. But it, to me, like, you know, Sepultura is like a band that it's kind of gone wrong for. Like,
absolutely.
They never quite, you know, got that same fury and anger and just, it's just not the same without the Cavalera brothers in it. But, you know, it's better that that band exists and is, you know, at least playing those songs to people than for them to not exist.
Yeah. I was thinking about this with a band like a Pantera. You know, obviously Dimebag can't come back and do the shows,
yeah,
but you know, when they talks of a Pantera featuring Zakk Wylde, or, you know, featuring whoever guitar player comes up, they're like, no Dime, no Pantera. But like, why do we hold that to such a high regard when, you know, there's 30 other bands out there that, you know, might just be the singer, or might just be the singer and the original bass player? I feel like some bands are held to a certain standard than other bands.
Yeah, well, it's true. But I think anyone who knows Pantera knows without Dime, you don't have Pantera. You don't have those, you know, those filthy licks and those, you know, disgusting solos.
Mm-hmm.
And just the groove and the tightness of it. You know, and each band member was equally as important, but Dime, you know, obviously one of the main writers. But if Pantera did, you know, end up doing something, I think Zakk is the guy.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, I hope he just doesn't throw pinch harmonics on everything. I love Zakk, but
right.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, I mean, Zakk is the guy. So if they did it, you know, I think it would be like another Guns N' Roses reunion. You know, mm-hmm. Of course, it's not all the same guys. You may not have Izzy or Adler, but you'll still fill a stadium because you got Slash. So if you got, you know, if you got Phil, Rex, and Vinny on the same stage again, which, you know, Rex has told me in an interview that they've come pretty close to that happening, and they've gotten ridiculous monetary amounts thrown at them. Like, you know, I think he said like 10 times what the Misfits are making or something like that. So obviously that's a ton of money per show, or, you know, for festivals or whatever mm-hmm. it is that they were offered. But I mean, I would love to see that happen. You know, it would be a bit painful to not see Dime on that stage, because there's just nobody else like him.
Yeah.
But I just saw Alice in Chains the other day, and I'm so happy that they're still around, even with Lane gone. And they were still phenomenal. And, you know, who's to say? You got to give it a go. You know, if Alice in Chains just didn't give it a second try with a new singer, we wouldn't have, you know, Black Gives Way to Blue mm-hmm. and Devil Put Dinosaurs Here. Just those two amazing records. And I love that new song they put out too, The One You Know. I think that's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Pantera do something. It would be a hell of a celebration.
Yeah, and I've always said that I think that if they maybe did like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame kind of thing, if you know, obviously that yeah. may or may not ever happen, but I think that would be a cool moment. Throw a stadium somewhere, you know, just get in a room together. And at this point, I almost would rather Phil and Vinny take a photo together and put it on Instagram. You know, that's all I want. I just want to know there's like peace and harmony in the Pantera camp, And and you know, it may or may not ever happen. You know, I've had Rita on here. I've had Phil on here. Talking with Rita, I think she was a little bit more in depth about the whole situation and what she would love to happen. I think was, you know, maybe not just one guitar player, but maybe come out and do a couple of songs. You know, that ran, you know, a revolving door of guitar players or a celebration of Dime Night kind of thing. And I would love that too. And then on to the Alice in Chains thing. You know, that's one band that, you know, Lane is such an iconic singer that you could never in a million years think you could replace that person, but yet they have, and they've continued success. You know, it's not like they're playing the bike rallies and the you know, dive bars and nobody's coming out. You know, they're still headlining festivals and putting on great shows. And that shows, like, when a band like, you know, like when a Chris Cornell passes away and they talk about it immediately, can you replace Chris Cornell? And you just have to look to Alice in Chains and say, yes. You know, you're going to have to celebrate Chris Cornell, but you can always replace somebody and put out some good tunes and continue on. You know, I think the band name and the band brand, I think, outlives everything. You know, you get those songs loud at a amphitheater and get to have a good night out and all that stuff and celebrate the lives of all that we've lost. And that, I think that trumps all.
Yeah, I think you need to ask, you know, with the Soundgarden thing, you know, is there a Jerry Cantrell in that band?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Kim Thayil Jerry Cantrell? Like, can he pull that weight? Because, you know, Jerry Cantrell's proved that he can write incredible songs, you know, without Lane. You know, it's you know, of course it's not the same, but he's still the creative force of that band. And, you know, I don't know if Kim Thayil is quite that.
Yeah.
It would be, man, that'd be a hell of a test. You know, I think if Soundgarden did say, hey, we're reuniting, or, you know, even Linkin Park, like, we're going to keep going. You know, that's a tough one because those guys were such creative forces. You know, Chris Cornell in his solo career, you mm-hmm. get to see his songwriting was still so good there. And I don't know, man, but you know, if they did it, I wouldn't fault them for giving it a shot and, you know, keeping Chris's memory alive. And, you know, if Alice in Chains can move forward and write such incredible music and keep going, then, you know, who knows who else can pull that off.
Yeah. And I think with the Linkin Park, you know, you've kind of got a good thing going because you have the second singer there. You know, you got the Mike Shinoda in there too, kind of take a little bit of the weight off of if another person came in to kind of sing the singy parts. You know, you've got someone to take a little bit off of them because, you know, there was always two singers. So, you know, you have a little bit of a built-in cushion there with Mike Shinoda and the band. And then, but I think this kind of comes back, or, you know, comes all the way back around to, you know, how important is one member over another member. And, you know, because I've never seen Skid Row without Sebastian Bach, but I've seen Sebastian Bach without Skid Row because I want to hear that voice, you know. And, you know, if Sebastian Bach led a Skid Row, I would go check that out rather than, you know, whatever third or fourth, fifth singer that Skid Row is bringing out. So it's such a tough thing, man, especially with singers. I think singers, and I guess this is kind of contradictory to everything we've just talked about, but when the singer leaves, I mean, so much stuff changes in the band. And a lot of times, you know, you associate all those songs to that voice. And if you don't have that voice, like a Sepultura, who didn't, I don't think that they nailed it when they replaced Max. I've never cared too much for Derek's voice. But,
yeah,
you know, had they nailed it with that, maybe it would have been a lot better. Maybe if we could have heard those Chuck Billy auditions or something, maybe that would have turned out to be much better. But, you know, you've got to replace such an iconic singer. And, you know, I guess some bands can do it like an Alice in Chains and some bands can't like a Sepultura.
Yeah. I mean, when you replace a singer, that's, you know, I everyone says that's the hardest person to replace, but I think that's probably true because the voice of the band is so distinct. You know, you can copy a guitar tone, you can mm-hmm. copy a playing style, you know, for most guitarists, but, you know, no matter who the singer is, you can't quite impersonate their voice or their inflection or their feelings. So, you know, when you replace a singer, you're either going to end up with like a Brian Johnson for AC/DC or like a Blaze Bailey with Iron Maiden. Right. So, you know, it could go either way, and it's gone both ways. So you just got to try it out, and if that's what you want to do, and fuck it. Like, you know, it's probably better to try and fail than to not try at all.
Well, I'm going to ask you one last thing, and then I'll get you out of here, and I do appreciate you taking the time tonight, but just off the top of your head, have you done a Wikipedia fact or fiction with someone, and you come across something that you're like, there's no way this is real, and it turned out to be a fact? Is there something you can think of off the top of your head?
I remember one time I did Wiki with Mark Tremonti, and I asked him about like a Creed song about, hey, is it true that Scott Stapp wrote it? I forget what song it was, but apparently Scott Stapp had this dream where he's being like chased by a killer under a bridge or something like that. And that became the lyrical inspiration for some song that they wrote. And he's like, that's absolutely not true. That's ridiculous. And then I did a Wikipedia with Scott Stapp and then asked him, and he's like, oh yeah, that's completely true. So,
and what's crazy is they're probably both right.
Yeah, I don't know. And that blew me away. And I said, like, what? Like, Mark said that was total bullshit. And he's like, nah, that's the truth, man. So, yeah, always go to the source, I guess. So,
I think out of those two, though, I think I'd probably trust Mark over Scott, even if Scott wrote the song.
Yeah, who knows? But, you know, Wikipedia is always great because you always just, you always find something, even when you go into an interview. And you're just like, ah, oh, man, I bet this is all pretty much true. It's like, nope, like, that's all. A lot of it ends up being bullshit. And, you know, that kind of surprises me how much of it is actually bullshit rather than, like, a weird thing that turns out being true. Because I've done, like, 100 episodes of that thing.
Wow.
I think only two episodes have been 100% true. But when it's 100% true, I get disappointed.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It takes all the juice out of it.
A little bit.
Well, Graham, man, thanks for taking the time. Is the best place for people to follow you would be on Twitter at GrahamWire?
Yeah, follow me at GrahamWire. You can look me up on Facebook. I'll add you as a friend. Yeah, just check out Loudwire. We're all over the place. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can check us out. Loudwire.com for all your daily rock and metal news, and of course the YouTube channel. You can see way too much of me on that thing, and we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. New season of Wikipedia coming soon, probably in I'm hoping like July or August, something like that. We'll get the next one rolling.
All right, Graham. Well, very cool. And guys, let's check out Rob Rivera's pick from the kit. And then we will get into my interview with Brandon Schipetti of Bleeding Through.
What's going on, everybody? This is Rob Rivera from the band Nonpoint, and this is my Rob's pick from the kit here on the Talk To Me podcast. Before I get to my pick, the Kings and Queens tour with Nonpoint, Butcher Babies, Islander, and Sumo Psycho is at its halfway point. We're tonight in Toledo, Ohio. Tomorrow we actually play in Knoxville, Tennessee. We have 10 years in Butcher Babies. It's not part of the tour, it's a one-off. And then we play in Clarksville, Tennessee the very next night at O'Connor's Irish Pub, the big outside stage with Shaman's Harvest and Otherwise. We have a day off, and then we'll be at Rocklahoma this Sunday playing the Hair Metal Day. Should be fun. Playing there with the likes of Poison, Lynch Mob, a couple other bands. So, my pick of the week, Snapcase, Zombie Prescriptions. Definitely one of the best songs that I have ever heard. It's got one of the best bridges ever written. And I remember hearing this, one of my old guitar players, a guy who was in Nonpoint for a very short time, it was Dan Stokowski. He actually showed me Snapcase. And when I heard that breakdown in the middle, I was like, holy crap. It's like still one of the coolest breakdowns that I'd ever heard. And a band that, I mean, they definitely, like, push the envelope as far as growing as a band. And not sure if they're still together. I haven't really done much research on them. I know that I think they played the This Is Hardcore festival that they do every year in Philadelphia. So, I mean, it was pretty cool, you know, getting to hear those records. And anyway, this is it right here, Snapcase, Zombie Prescription.
All right, guys, we got Brandon Schepetti of Bleeding Through on the line with a great new album called Love Will Kill All out May 25th on Sharp Tone Records. Brandon, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Thanks very much for having me.
Cool. I did want to start out with one thing. You know, when I first got into the podcast world and listening to podcasts, one of my favorites was yours. Whatever happened to your podcast?
I enjoy doing them. I changed my format and went from having just like my name, Brandon Space Podcast, to Negatively Positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going through a media company called Jabberjaw Media. And really, it was the podcast for me is just like an absolute hobby.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really, it's not a means for living, it's not anything else. In the grand scheme of me kind of doing all the things that I do, it was like the one thing that was pure hobby, and when I had time to do it, I'll do it. And really just, I guess for Jabberjaw, I wasn't doing them enough, so they booted me from the roster, and then, which is totally fine, I get it. Like, they do a company that they want to do ad space and that kind of stuff. And for me, because it is a total hobby, you know, I just want to talk into a microphone and talk about some stuff and maybe interview some cool people. And it was just very kickback and stuff. And I just really wanted to kind of be like more relaxed with it.
Yeah.
And, I guess I'm trying to like make like a long answer very short. I don't have time to do it.
Right, I get it. No, I totally get it.
Plain and simple, I don't have time to do it. I own a gym called Rise Above Fitness.
Yeah.
I work on the floor as the main trainer and also do a lot of business side of the business, which is owning a business for those that don't, who think it's just showing up and lifting weights. They're sorely mistaken. It's the hardest job that I've ever had in my life. So I do that about 12 hours a day. And on top of that, I help run my clothing company, Rise Above Fitness Apparel, our clothing production company called the Renegade Collective. I do Bleeding Through. I do the Iron Sun. I do studio work right for another band.
Mm-hmm.
So in the grand scheme of things, my podcast is absolutely last place on that. And yeah.
No.
And to be honest, like I like interviewing people, but I don't really want to interview people.
No,
and a lot of times people like from record labels are like, oh, we want you to interview so-and-so from such fans. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I'll interview them, and I'll, you know, call the label back or their A&R person back and be like, dude, that was the worst fucking interview I've ever done. Like, the person has no fucking humor, has no life. It's just very like, yeah, this record's cool because it's, like, heavy. And, yeah. And so for me, I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, I'm having to carry the conversation. And it just got boring for me.
Dude, it's so funny you say that because a couple of days ago, my son, who is 12, about to be 13, had a school project where he had to create a band. And, you know, dad's been in bands, but he never asked for my help. So he created this band, did a poster, did all this stuff. But one of the things was he had to do a video interview as the member of the band. So he asked me to interview him, and he gave me some questions.
Yeah.
And his answers to the questions were probably better than 90% of the guests I've had on this podcast. I walked away going, man, this guy's good. Like I think I might release that as an interview on the podcast.
You should, man. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I just got kind of bored doing it.
Yeah.
And I like doing it when I have things to talk about, but it's sort of thing now where it's like, now I need to find another hosting site. And like I said, in the grand scheme of things, especially with Bleeding Through coming back, I'm like, I feel with like probably 30 minutes of free time a day. So, and I try to tell people, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of the busiest person you'll ever meet because my mind doesn't rest. So I just keep going and going and going. So when I have time, I'll do them. And I'm not stopping doing them. I'll still do them. But just, they'll probably be like once every like couple months.
Yeah. And that's the hard thing with the thing is, you know, if you say you're going to put something out every Thursday, you know, sometimes on Wednesday you're kind of scrambling. So yeah, I totally get it, man. You kind of mentioned in there, and what we're talking about here is, you know, the Bleeding Through's new album coming out. Is this one of those deals where you know, the band goes away and while you're away, you know, there's kind of a groundswell of new fans and maybe a mystique around the band that, you know, has grown while you guys have been away?
Actually, we got back together to relive the glory days and make a shit ton of money.
There you go.
And actually, I'm just joking.
I know.
That's what people would like to believe. And my response to them is, we were never a big fan and we never made money. So that's plain and simple. And the reason why we even broke, like, kind of took a step back in the first place is really because I'll give you the most adult answer I possibly can. We were in our 30s and we wasn't paying the bills from bleeding through. And I know that's not the popular answer for, like, why a band will, like, disband or go away, because people want to believe that, you know, if you tour and you play shows, that the magical money fairy will just take care of you. But bottom line, once you do something for 15 years, you get into your 30s and you want to start having kids and start other things in other parts of your careers and other areas that you've never been able to focus on before.
Mm-hmm.
Start families, buy houses, you know, kind of do, like, grown-up shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really tough to do. It's really tough to do when you're in a band and you have obligations to tour with the band. And then you kind of look at your expenses and everything. You're like, wow, we're really just touring so our manager can make money and our booking agent can make money. That's insane. And, like, so, I mean, that was a factor. We always loved playing music. We all would, you know, another reason people say is that we weren't big anymore, so we stopped. Like my, you know, we weren't really a big band. Like, we were a solid drawing band, but we sold some records and we had our moment in the sun that was sort of like during the salad days of metalcore in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
We had our kind of oasis with every other fucking band. And we made it. We were one of the bands that was fortunate to make it out of that era and continue having success. And but the thing was, is like I said, you get older and we weren't able to accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of music and the stresses of being and bleeding through, like, were really kind of weighing on us. And we were exhausted. We felt that we were being disrespected by journalists, promoters, our own management, our own record label. No one saw us as a band that spearheaded and trying to help pioneer a whole fucking genre. They just thought, oh, well, Bleeding Through, they're old news. Let's put our new band on there, so hopefully our new band can overtake Bleeding Through. Like, we became that separate band.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like, you know, for us, and I just think it was kind of one of those things where it's not like that's why we stopped, but I just felt like the overall attitude towards the band was changed. And there's a lot of factors to it. And, you know, for me, I kind of said to the band, I said, you know what, like, I have this opportunity. I opened my gym a couple of years before the band kind of disbanded. And I said to them, you know what, I have to dedicate my life to this right now. And I can't do Bleeding Through. And it bummed people out, but at the same time, it's like, I had this opportunity to set myself up for another career in my life. And I told everybody in the band, like, I expect you to do the same fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have this opportunity, take it. Like, that's what adults do. Like, too often times, I actually think that most bands should take that sort of approach of being like, okay, we've done this for like 10, 15 years. Let's take a few years off. Settle our scores in our personal life. Take care of our family. Set something up financially so we don't need this music to grind this out to fucking make money to put food on our table or a house overhead. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think most bands should take that, because how many bands have you met where, I know me personally, where, fuck, man, they seem like they have it together on the road and their life is peachy. Outside of life on the road and being a band, they're like a fucking catastrophe because they can't work on anything at home. And you look at these guys and you're like, damn, I feel bad for them because they have nothing else to go to. So they're grinding it out, like road dogging it into their fucking 40s. And I'm sorry, like, I love music and it's like it's the biggest passion of mine, but you shouldn't have to sacrifice your whole life for it. And I think that's what I kind of said to us leading through. And I know I talk a lot, I'm sorry.
No, you're but, fine.
You know, one of the things I said to everybody in the band, I said, you know what? Let's get rid of this obligation. We'll take care of what we need to take care of in our personal life. And when we come back, if we want to come back, then we come back. If you guys are satisfied, then we won't. And it's done. So I was at my studio writing music with my producer just for like some other projects and bands and stuff. And I started writing a song, sounded like a Bleeding Through song. And I sent a clip to it in a group text to all the members. And I said, what do you guys think? Do you want to do a new record yet? And I said, there's no pressure. You know, if you guys say no, we won't do it. But I really think that there's a need in this in the genre right now and in the music world for a Bleeding Through record. And I don't know why I just got that sense. But everyone's like, cool, let's fucking do this. And so it kind of happened organically. So, I mean, that's really what keyed us to getting back together.
Yeah, and it's funny you talked about, you know, bands, you know, maybe hanging on a little too long or not taking that break. And a lot of the crew guys, too, are kind of the same way. I remember one of the last tours I ever did, two of the crew guys met each other for the first time, and one of them said to the other one, he's like, well, what are you running away from? And, you know, they laughed. Yeah. And you know, that's kind of what it is. You know, they're kind of running away from home to get away from things. And, you know, that's the reason I left the road in the late 2000s was, you know, the money I was making on the road was less than what I would make at a normal job. So I was like, and I had kids at home and stuff. I was like, this is just dumb. Like, there's no reason to be chasing the adolescent dream in your 30s.
Well, it's like one of those things where you don't realize it. And like I said, it's an uncomfortable topic when it comes down to money and finances. Once I started my gym, I started really understanding business a little bit more and finances and budgeting and all that kind of stuff. And then I started realizing, man, our management and booking agent are trying to push us on the road nonstop. But if I do the expenses, it's costing bleeding through money to do the tour, but that our management and booking agent aren't making money.
Right.
So it's like, then we started looking at it like terms of, holy shit, we're a fucking cash cow. Like, the realization that we're just a cash cow for the people that are supposed to be caring about this band and caring about this career. And so that was kind of like a wake-up call for us as well. And we started saying to ourselves, okay, we're not going to tour as much. And I remember people that worked for the band going, whoa, you can't do that. Like, we don't have to do shit.
Right.
Like, we don't have to do a fucking thing. And that's the beauty about getting back together now. It's like, we have a great team that works with us. And they know that if they try to push us to a certain point where you want to go to, we're just safe. We'll just tell them to fuck right off. Like, we have nothing to lose anymore. It's not like they could say, okay, well, we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah with the band. My response is fucking sue us then. You don't think I'm a, like, I understand the legal process. I understand how much it costs for lawyers. I have two of them. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead. You know, and it's one of those things where fans need to fucking start standing up for themselves, so they're just going to fry away. And I see that all the time. You know, I talk to students and bands where I think they should make a shit ton more money, and they're fine, and they're telling me they're not coming home with money off tour. How does that fucking happen? Oh, that's because their management decided that they needed to have stage, like a bunch of stage fucking production, so they could look like a bigger band and tour with the bus, have a tech number for every person in the band. And then when you look at it, the band's making $1,000 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where the fuck is the money going? But that's where you still get the cut, their manager. So I think that's one of the biggest problems in the last 5 years since we've been out of it, is that bands can't make up decisions themselves. They're being pushed and bullied by the music industry to grind away, and they're actually grinding away their fucking careers.
Yeah, fans would be appalled to find out how many bands out there that the guitar tech is probably making more than the actual guitar player that's on stage.
Our techs and people that work for the band made more money than Bleeding Through for the last 5 years of our career. And that's not okay.
Kind of getting back to kind of the essence of what I was kind of bringing up in the first place was, you know, if Bleeding Through would have continued on the road and continued just grinding, you know, it may have just run it into the ground. But I think in the 5 years that you guys have kind of been gone, you know, that the name Bleeding Through is actually, yeah, I hate to sound so industry, but you know, the name has become more valuable in the 5 years you've been gone. And some bands, and, you know, some bands need that. Like My Chemical Romance only broke up in like what, 2013, like around the same time you guys did. But
yeah,
you would think that they've been broken up for 20 years from the groundswell of people freaking out that any time that any of them tweet or Instagram anything, you know, that you think that the world is going to stop. So, I mean, you know, the same thing with Bleeding Through, you hear, you know, a lot of bands that you guys influenced are now on top. And so they're talking about, it's great. You know, they're talking about their influences being a band like Bleeding Through and one of the forefathers of metalcore. You know, you guys are now getting lumped into that category. So I think it's a great time for a Bleeding Through album. And I think with the way the industry is now, to where, you know, you can tour for 2 or 3 weeks at a time if you want to and go home.
Yeah.
It's not a 9 month at a time grind. You know, it's not the Black Album tour where you're going to be gone for 3 years. You know, I think it's a good time for music.
I think so too. And like I said, like, some people have said the same thing. Like, do you think that going away actually helps Bleeding Through? And I can say absolutely positively, yes. And I think that, you know, a common question I get asked is, like, why not Bleeding Through? Why did a band like Atreyu and Avenged Sevenfold and As Though He's Dying and all these other bands that you guys used to see on tour, how come they got huge and you didn't? And a couple of like responses, I just kind of feel we were too real of a fucking band. Like, we didn't want to become that. Like, I remember lifting with Matt from Avenged Sevenfold one day when they got signed to Warner Brothers, and I remember saying to him, and I said, dude, are you, like, kind of nervous? Do you, like, what your fan base thinks, like, signing to a major label? And he said, Brandon, I look like fucking movie guy. And I'm like, fair enough. I've never said that in my life. Ever. So it's like one of those things where I feel because we didn't push the envelope and try to like be this enormous band, that I feel like we stayed in the underground and we kind of got forgotten about and pushed aside a little bit. And I think one of the things that kind of pushed aside was we weren't really a social media band. And then when the social media started really blowing up, we were the old dinosaurs and the old fucking people like that were like, oh, let's just see what we're doing. We don't need to like switch our marketing tactics and stuff like that. But the rest of the world was changing. They were changing too. Everything at your fingertips. If I can't open my app and within 3 minutes see the name of your band, then I'm going to forget about you. And I think that we were stubborn and tried to keep doing things old school because we're stubborn punk rock kids. And I think that that's why people maybe forgot about us. And I think now, I remember Marta saying on the last show, and this is funny. I was like, you know what? I said to people, to everybody before we went on stage, I said, you know what? I love you guys. We fucking grinded out a 15-year-long career. Nobody ever had faith in us except us. And we did everything the right way that we wanted to do. And we helped start a fucking, like, we helped pioneer a fucking genre. And hopefully we'll never be forgotten about. And I just said that I was proud of everybody in the band. And that we should keep going. I remember Marta saying, they're going to miss us when we're fucking gone. And that's funny because 5 years later, I'm doing more interviews than I've ever done in my fucking life. Even like during the Truth and Declaration days.
Yeah.
And the response to this record, at least the song, is gangbusters. And we're not used to that. We're used to being kind of shit on and like kind of being like the people's champion. You know what I mean? And it's like, I kind of feel like now it's like we're getting this response. And I think Marta was right. And I hate to have that come across as being like slightly arrogant, but she's right. People miss us when we're gone. They didn't know what they had because Bleeding Through was always so accessible to them that we were almost too accessible, always on the road, where people kind of swept to the side and said, well, I'll see Bleeding Through next time. Or, I'm not going to buy this record, but I'll buy the next record. We kind of got Slayer for a little bit. And then Slayer kind of took a dip for a little bit and kind of disappeared for a few years. And they came back and they were Slayer again. And I feel that sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the time of, you know, Anthrax playing clubs that were, you know, half full, 250 people in them, and you know, now they're back on top. And same with Slayer too. Yeah, it's
totally.
I think every genre it kind of happens that way, and you know,
I think so too.
You know, even a band like a Limp Bizkit or something, you know, they were the kings of being shit on there for a few years, and then now they only play sporadically.
Yeah, they're cool again.
Yeah, they play sporadically, and it's sold out arenas, so you never know what's going to happen.
It's crazy. But, you know, I have no regrets with the way it went down. I think everything went down the same way. And I have no bitterness whatsoever. Like, I look back at our career and the fact that we had 15 years was amazing. And the fact that we're still around now and we're still playing. Mm-hmm. And when people get the record, it's going to be amazing because, you know, every record that we put out after The Truth, everybody expected us to follow suit of the rest of the Orange County bands and be a rock band. And so we put out Declaration and people were like, shit. This is not a rock band. And then people thought the next one's going to be a rock band. And then people thought the next one's going to be a rock band. And people think that this record's going to be a rock record. And it's like, the fact that we've been together for almost 20 years, or at least playing music together for a better part of 20 years, and we put this record out, and I'm not trying to, like, suck my own dick here, but the record's fucking good. It's not like one of these, oh, well, Blazers back, and they kind of, like, play, like, a half-assed version of how they used to play. I feel like we're better musicians now. We have a free, clear mind, anti-stress, and it comes out on a record that way.
Well, I think Bleeding Through is a type of band that if you guys were to put out one or two awesome songs and the rest of the album is filler, people would still go, Bleeding Through is back. You know, that's the kind of Spotify world that we live in. You know, track one,
totally.
One and two are awesome. Then the rest are, you know, mediocre songs. They would still be, oh my God, have you heard the new Bleeding Through? Because it's like I said, that's kind of the world we're living in. And from what I can tell from listening through the album, you know, there's not a lull in the new album.
Thanks, man. I think it's like, this is a new age, like ready for something new the next day. And
right.
You know, it's something where Shark Tone has been really awesome with us. I mean, fuck, man, we couldn't have picked a better record label. I feel like they get us. They're not forcing us to do so much that they kind of like force their younger bands to do. They know what we're going to do and we feel comfortable with. But they also are opening our eyes, and especially like our new management team, they're opening our eyes to things that we could do that still maintain the brand of Leading Through, but still be a little bit more modern where we put more content out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of learned that from like being in the fitness world. It's all about, that's great, now what? That's great, now what? That's great, now what? And it keeps going like that every day. That if you kind of rest on your laurels and kind of like sit and just do what you do and not like at least put an effort forth, you're going to be forgotten about really fucking quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the world that we're, you know, that's the world that we're living in too. You know, I've had quotes from this podcast kind of go with the quote unquote viral, and then that artist might, you know, I might be friendly with the artist and they'll text them or they'll text me and they'll be kind of worried about the quote. And I'm like, dude, it'll be gone tomorrow. Like no one will remember it tomorrow,
exactly.
You know?
Dude.
So it's crazy.
Dude. It's swept away really quick.
Yeah. I'll end with a little bit of sports. I know you're a big sports guy. You and I both grew up listening to, you know, AM sports talk radio. So let's talk a little bit about I know you're an LA guy. So are you a Chargers guy? Are you a Rams guy?
I'm actually, all of my family is from the Illinois area. So either Illinois or Wisconsin, that's where all my family is from.
Okay.
So I grew up as a little kid visiting my family in Chicago. So I was in Chicago about 2-3 times a year, all through my childhood. And the first four teams that I ever grew up liking were Chicago.
Nice.
So I'm a huge Chicago Bears fan, and I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan. And I was a pretty fanatical Blackhawks fan. And that's one team that I kind of switched on because living here, like when the year before the Ducks won the Cup, I started going to more hockey games here and bought season tickets. And I had season tickets for about 4 years. So I kind of turned into a Ducks fan. I still back the Hawks, but yeah, like, so I'm a huge Bears, huge Cubs fan.
Yeah, I was actually talking with, I hate to drop a name, but I was talking with Chris Kale the other day, and he is a Vegas guy now. And I told him, I was like, this is your one opportunity to switch teams. Like, you're allowed to switch to the Vegas Raiders because he's a Cincinnati Bengals fan. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you any opportunity to move from that. But I was, you know, so I was.
He'll never do it.
I don't know. He sent me a picture of him and Mark Davis hanging out. So I'm pretty sure he's on the fence of changing. But
I'm sure he'll go to a ton of games. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a big Golden Knights guy now. But with the Rams and the Chargers coming to town, is that something you're casually checking out?
Oh, totally. Like I pay attention to like both franchises. I like the Chargers a little bit more because they're an AFC team and, you know, my NFC kind of like loyalty rests on the Bears. But in my gym, there's a shit ton of Rams fans. I have a shit ton of friends who are Rams fans. And we're going to go to Chicago on the December 9th to see the Rams play in Chicago. So that'll be fun. And, I pay attention. I mean, where I used to coach high school football, like my last job I had coaching high school football, strength and conditioning, like right next to our school is where the Chargers do their training camp.
Oh, nice.
Like, literally a fence away. So you can see through the fence and watch them practice. So those dudes would come over and use our weight room, and because our weight room was outside, talk to the kids. I chatted up with them, like, when they did joint practices. Like, we met everybody in, like, New Orleans Saints. I met Drew Brees. He was the fucking nicest guy I've ever met. It's insane. He was just like, you know, I'm walking around, and he's just like, hey, coach, coach, coach. And I'm like, Drew Brees just called me coach, right? Like, that's crazy.
That's
and,
awesome.
It was one of those things, and he's like asking me for things. I'm like, yeah, we got TRX fans right here. Set it up for him, and we started chatting. He's like, so, you strength conditioning coach here? And he's like, how is it? I'm like, well, you know, it's a low-income area, so we get kind of like low-income kids and that kind of stuff. But, you know, we make it work for what it is. And he was just chatting it up. He's just like, you know what? Just keep doing what you're doing. These kids know that you're doing it for the right reasons and that you love them, so. And it was really cool to hear like someone like spending their time like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's fucking Drew Brees. Right? I'm trying not to fanboy. And it's kind of weird when you think about it because it's like, I'm 37. Drew Brees is 39.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, he's only 2 years older than me, but I feel like a fucking child right now. Weird.
Well, see, I'm 38 and I still see like, I'm a huge Tennessee Titans guy. And, you know, it's funny when you see these guys and you're like, oh, they're about to retire at 34. And I'm like, I still think they're older than me. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I could be, you know, their older brothers and stuff like that.
That's, But, that's the beauty about sports is that you always look at it from a kid's perspective.
Yeah. Did I guess I'll give you the last question here and jump off here. But through the bleeding through years, did you ever come across like any guys in sports that were bleeding through fans?
Yeah. I mean, some hockey guys. Like a lot of hockey guys were like into metal.
Oh yeah.
Not so much football. I met a guy named Tom Crabtree.
Okay.
That at the time played for the Packers. Not funny, the Packers, but. He was a tight end for them, and he came to one of our shows, and he was a really cool guy. He came to our show in Milwaukee. Goaltenders, like, so, like, when we played Dallas, like, Carter Lettinen, the old goalie would come out to our show,
mm-hmm.
and he would hang out because he's super into, like, Finnish metal and shit, so he would come out.
That's great.
I'm trying to think. When we played Denver, Paul Stastny would come out with a bunch of third players as well. They're a bunch of fucking metalheads, so. I mean, mainly that's it.
Yeah, those hockey dudes, they love their metal, man. Go ahead.
You know who likes metal too? All the baseball players. Like I'm friends with Mark Trumbo.
Yeah.
And we're really friends because he liked the band and he used to get guitar lessons from one of our old guitar players. So he's kind of a metalhead and he listens to like crazy shit. Like he listens to like Nails and like Gate Creeper and shit like that. So,
wow.
And it's funny because he's looking at me like, this guy's such a fucking dork. Like, all right, what do you mean? But he listens to great music. He rips the guitar.
Very cool, man. Well, good luck with the new album. Like I said, it's called Love Will Kill All, out May 25th, Sharptone Records. And Brandon, man, thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, no worries, man. We'll be back anytime you want.
Broken my name, empty words. That's all you meant to me. This is Philip H. Anselmo, and you are listening to Talk To Me with Joshua.
Guys, and what you heard there was a track by the band Repentance that features Robbie J. Fonts of Stuck Mojo, friend of the show on the podcast, and that features him on vocals there, and also Sean Glass, formerly of Soil and many other bands. So make sure you're checking out Repentance. Go give them a like on Facebook and let them know you heard about them on Talk To Me. Before that was some new Bleeding Through off of their latest album that will be out tomorrow. make sure and check them out. And a huge thank you to Brandon Schipetti of Bleeding Through for taking the time, coming on the podcast. And to start us all off, thank you to Graham from Loudwire. I thoroughly enjoy what he does over there. Make sure you guys are checking him out. Good dude, solid guy, and appreciate him for wanting to come on the show, man. That was nice. Nice to have him on the show. So that concludes another episode of the Talk To Me podcast, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Make sure you're heading over to Metal Nexus, checking out all of the news, reviews, interviews, and the archives of the Talk To Me podcast. So for Talk To Me, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you next week.
Say what, say what. Say what, say what. Say what, say what. Say what, say what.
My dick is bigger than yours.
Ooh. Say what, say what. Say what, say what. Say what, say what.
My dick is bigger than yours.
Too bad, I got your beans in my bag. You stuck up sucker, corny motherfucker. Taking over flows is the limp, pimp. Need a biscuit to save this group from John Davis. I'm gonna drop a little east side skill. You best step back, cause I'ma kill, I'ma kill. So what you thinking, Mr. Raggedy Man? Doing all you can to look like Raggedy Ann.
Check you out, punk. Yes, I know you feel it. You look like one of those dancers from the Hanson video. You little faggot hoe, please give me some shit to whack with. Cause right now I'm all lit, kid. Suck my dick, kid, like your daddy did.
Who the fuck you think you're talking to? I'm known for eating little whiny chumps like you.
Whatever.
All up in my face with that.
Are you ready?
But halitosis is all you're rocking steady. Your little fairy smelling on your flowers. Nappy hairy chest, look, it's Austin Powers. I hear you tooting on them bagpipes, Clyde. But you said it best, there's no place to hide.
What the fuck you saying? You're a pimp, whatever. Limp dick, Fred just needs to rehearse. Needs to reverse what he's what, saying. When the beans funk dubious while you're playing. Ripping up a bad kind of bit, bacon. Your bills I'm paying.
You can't eat that shit every day, Fred. Lay off the bacon.
Say what, say what. You better watch your fucking mouth, John.
So you hate me.
And I hate you.
You know what, you know what.
It's all in my family,
yeah. I hate you.
And you hate me.
You know what.
It's all in my family. At you, fool, I'm gonna fuck you up twice. Throwing rhymes at me like, oh shit, alright. But vanilla ice. You better run, run while you can. Can never fuck me up, this blanket. At least I got a fat original band.
Who's hot, who's not? You best step back. Corn on the cob, okay. You need a new job. Time to take the mic skills back to the dentist and buy yourself a new grill. Your pumpkin pie, I'll jack off in your eye. Climbing shoots and ladders while your ego shatters. But you just can't get away, because it's doomsday, kid. It's doomsday.
So I hate you,
and you hate me.
You know what, you know what.
It's all in my family.
You got it.
You call yourself a singer,
yep.
You're more like Jerry Springer.
Cool.
Your favorite band is Winger, and all you eat is Zingers. You're like a fruity pebble, your favorite flag is Rebel. It's just too bad that you're a faggot on a lower level.
So you're from Jacksonville, kicking it like Buffalo Bill. Getting butt-fucked by your Uncle Chuck, while your sister's on her knees,
oh,
waiting
yeah.
for your little nut.
Where'd you get that little dance? Like them idiots in Waco. You're burning up in Baker. Where your father had your mother. Your mother had your brother.
Nuh-uh.
It's just too bad your father's mad. Your mother's now your lover.
Come on, hillbilly. Can your horse do a fucking willy? You love it down south. And boy, you sure do got a burning
oh, yeah.
mouth. I hate you. And you hate me.
You know what? You know what?
It's
yeah.
all.
You got it, you got it.
And I love
Say what? What? Say...